That's right, we're back again with another episode of Dedicated. As always, well, you already know who I am. And a lot of people have been asking me a very particular question, so I figured I'd address it on this show. I would say this week's show, but we all know that hasn't really worked out. I think the last episode was in June, and I haven't done one since then. So today is 10/13, and I'm going to talk about why, because the last time I talked about how I'd been vegan for roughly 2 weeks. Why, oh why, Pat, why in the world did you go vegan? Well, it started as a health-related thing. I had been doing a lot of research and watching a lot of documentaries as well. For those of you who have never seen any of the pro-plant-based diet documentaries, I'd recommend checking out Forks Over Knives, which is available on Netflix, Hungry for Change, which is also available on Netflix, Vegucated, which I believe is still available on Netflix, and I would also look into writings or videos or discussions with Dr. Neil Bernard. You're getting a lot of great information on the circulatory system, blood flow, heart issues, cancers, how a lot of the things that we think are subject to, and it's just unfortunate that it happens, are really part of what we put in ourselves in the first place, what our diet looks like, and what we decide to eat. Another one is the nutritionfacts.org YouTube page and the website, which is run by Dr. Greger. And Dr. McDougall, who wrote The Starch Solution, look into what these guys have to say about... and Dr. McDougall especially, he calls it... he doesn't call it a vegan diet, but he calls it basically eating like peasant food, because the kings and queens would eat the decadent, rich meats, and the peasants would eat the rice, the grains, the potatoes, the beans, the fruits, all the things which are actually, a lot of people complain that a vegan diet is very expensive. If you know what you're doing and you know what types of foods you need to eat, it really is not very expensive at all. It's actually much cheaper when you don't have to figure in how expensive something like meat is. Nutritionally, it also helps not at first, because your body kind of has to accommodate itself to it. But from what I've noticed over the last few months is my weight has stayed primarily the same, but my body shape is drastically changing. It's thinning out in the right areas. The lean muscle is building much better, and a lot of fat is disappearing in way of muscle. So it leads to a much slimmer physique. It's more going back to your body's default size and setting, and it doesn't happen overnight. It takes a while, but it's honestly the healthiest way I've found to do that. So I'm in this for the long haul, and I'm very happy with the results so far. But another reason to go vegan, besides the health benefits, besides the fact that you can help alleviate or greatly reduce your risk of certain types of cancers or diabetes or heart issues or gout or really anything that so many people have issues with that will walk into a store and go, hey, what can you do for me? As far as supplementation, you can start with diet, and it really does help, and it can help reverse some of those situations. Dr. Neil Bernard, for example, has reversed type 2 diabetes many times by putting people from a traditional SAD diet, S-A-D, standard American diet, which is very heavy in meats, it's an omnivore diet, to eating completely plant-based, and their insulin levels actually evened out, and they were able to move into a normal lifestyle. I mean, were they able to go back to eating the garbage that they were eating? No, but they were able to live a happy lifestyle without having to worry about medications anymore, which is a big thing. A lot of people are trying to get off of their medications because those are not good for the body either. They're very acidic, and a plant-based lifestyle is very alkalizing to the body, so it helps decrease inflammation. It helps just in general, you feel lighter. You're also getting fiber, which I believe it's like 97% of people in America are deficient in fiber. And which is funny because a lot of people talk about protein. They say, oh, well, if you're a vegan, you must be deficient in protein. Nobody is deficient in protein, really. You need so little protein as compared to what the standard American diet wants you to have that, honestly, they actually give you way over what you need. And to build muscle and everything, like the rest of the protein just kind of goes to waste. You only need a small amount. Like maybe I consume 60, 70 grams of protein in a day. That's probably about it. But recommendations would have me at like 120 to 140. And yes, protein does keep you feeling less hungry throughout the day, but you're also starving in all these other nutrients that you need. And the overly feared carbohydrate is unfortunately one of those macronutrients your body also does need. But everyone's afraid of carbohydrates. I eat carbohydrates very consistently all day, but they're not processed. They're not refined. They're whole plant-based foods. And nutritionally, it really helps to cleanse the body. All of the fiber, all of the alkalization that takes place really helps to keep your body in tip-top shape. But there's another aspect to being vegan, and that's the ethical aspect, which wasn't something that hit me very hard at first. I was more concerned about fueling my body with the best possible food. So as I started eating this way, I started watching some of the other documentaries that are out there. Earthlings, which is on YouTube, which is incredibly graphic. They talk about everything from the fur industry to the meat industry. They show cows getting sliced basically from ear to ear and bleeding out in pain. You can see the look in their eyes. You can see them getting beat by the owners, or not the owners, but the workers. You can see how the chickens are just in these little coops. When they say they're cage-free, they're still in these, they're in slightly bigger coops where they walk around, but they walk around all over each other, and their legs break out from under them. Really, the conditions that we subject these animals to are absolutely ridiculous. I mean, if you think about it the same way that you think of your cat or your dog or even like another person, to live in that type of squalor is ridiculous. And one thing that I had to get over, it was really tough, and I have, but it took me quite a while, is there me thinking that there was a big difference in how the animal was treated if it was grass-fed. But the thing is, even though it's eating better food and you're getting better nutrients from eating something that's grass-fed, at the end of the day, you still slice the thing's neck open. I mean, there's no soft death. You know what I mean? Like, it's death is death. They're still killing these things, and they're still cutting them apart, and they're putting them on the supermarket shelves to a point where you don't relate seeing that chicken or that beef or that ground meat on the shelf to the animal that it once was. It's distanced. We didn't have to kill it ourselves. It's just there. So we're so far removed from that whole process that we don't see all the death and all the negativity and all that is, you know, you can't kill something and have that negative vibe not attach itself to the food in some way. And another one I watched was Cowspiracy, and they talk about how much water it takes to raise an animal in comparison to how much water you use to shower, how much water it takes to water these plants. And it's ridiculous for a pound of beef. I forget exactly how many gallons of water, but it's egregious. And something that was said to me very early on in this whole journey kind of makes sense. And that is that you cannot consume death if you want to be alive. You need to consume things that are living, these plants, these enzymes, these nutrients. Meat is just death. That's what it is. You know, we kill it and grill it. And that was one thing, too, that quickly started to happen was I started to get really disgusted by the smell of meat because I live with other people who are omnivores and they do cook meat in the house. And it used to not really bother me so much, but now if I come in from work or if I'm in the house and they're cooking meat, it just, the smell is just unbearable. And I guess on the bright side, though, what I really do enjoy a lot more is I get a lot less stressed out. I don't feel my blood pressure raising as much, if at all, really. I'm very laid back, calm, and chill in comparison to how I used to be. I mean, don't get me wrong, I can still get mad, I can still get aggravated, but I feel like I'm more sound of mind now, and I'm able to handle it much better, and I'm also able to let things go. I feel like it helped. Getting rid of the meat and the dairy and the animal products in general helped me learn to like kind of let go of the ego a little bit and also just have more self-control, which is something that I've learned a lot on this journey, whether I was vegan or whether I was gluten-free, dairy-free, whether I was just taking control of my physical well-being, that self-control has grown and grown to the point, as well as the self-confidence. But I feel like now there's like this different frequency that my body is kicking in on where I don't get so involved in what others are doing or saying anymore. I just don't seem to have any care or concern for it. With that said, I just wanted to share a little bit, and another funny thing is the world of dating now has become really, really different, because I try to be upfront and honest about who I am, and being vegan is suddenly like this weird thing where you mention it, and some people are like, oh, okay, I get that, I respect that, that's cool, and some people are just absolutely repulsed, like, no, and it's not my food choices that I think they're repulsed by. I think it's the fact that it makes them want to feel inferior in some way, which is mind-blowing, honestly, because I'm there to listen to and help anyone along their journey wherever they're at, and my goal isn't to make everyone a vegan, because that's not going to happen. My goal is to help people realize what's out there and what they can do to help themselves attain whatever their goals are. So if I go on a date with somebody, I'm not going to say, oh, you can't order meat here. Do I disagree with the practices of the meat industry? Absolutely. But I'm not going to expect somebody to go, oh, well, you don't eat meat, so now I can never eat meat again when I'm with you. That's not realistic. Same thing with friends who come around. I'll bring my own food. Like when I go to gatherings, I bring my own food or I eat beforehand. It's not really a big deal. But people around me tend to like to make it a big deal, or people that I, like I said, that I tried dating seem to make it a big, big deal when really I just don't eat meat. I don't understand what's so hard about that to wrap your head around. And I mean, kudos to the people who understand and who accept that, and kudos to my friends who don't try to push me back to, oh, you need to eat meat, you need protein. It is a funny world, though, and dating I didn't think would be such an issue, but I think that's become one of the funniest issues to deal with socially, because I never realized how much of a social thing eating was until this whole journey started. Even when I was gluten-free and dairy-free, people were like, oh, you don't eat wheat? You don't eat cheese? That's weird. That's so weird. And it ruins their social experience. But for me, it's just like, I'll grab a salad or I'll go Chipotle. I can still go Chipotle and get sofritas. It's tofu. It's delicious. So, I guess, really, it's the other way a lot of times. I don't know if it's this way in every situation, but it's been in my experience that when I want to eat and I'm not making a big deal over the fact that I don't eat certain things, people try to make it this humongous deal. And when they ask, certainly I'll tell them, but if they don't ask why I don't eat certain things, I'm not going to bother telling them because it's a lot to handle at once. They've been raised in this society and they've been taught to eat their meat and their dairy for protein and for calcium and for all these other things that they don't really need it for. And it's become something that we think tastes good because we're feeding an addiction. Anyway, with all that said, those are just some of the reasons that I decided to go vegan and some of the little fun attributes of my lifestyle. So with that said, thanks for checking out another episode of Dedicated. Thanks for listening to me ramble for almost 20 minutes here. And I hope you tune in next time. And I don't know what I'm covering next, but I'm actually off this week, so I may be releasing a bunch of episodes. I may be talking about DDP yoga certification, which is something I'm really tossing around, just biting the bullet and just doing already because I wanted to do it for a while. And I'll catch you guys on the next episode. Peace.
Hi, I'm Sean Astin, and you're watching Veg TV.
Edge TV News.
Babies need mother's milk. Breastfeeding is something that was totally out of fashion when I was a kid, but it really should be front and center in every pediatrician's set of recommendations. After the age of weaning, there's no requirement for any kind of milk, and certainly not the milk of another species. We now know that there are health problems from milk. Childhood diabetes is linked to early milk exposure. Anemia is caused because iron absorption is interfered with by having milk in the digestive tract. So we're better off without milk. Americans consume a lot of milk, but it really is not doing them any great benefit. Researchers have tracked milk drinkers over the years, and it turns out that those who get the most calcium from dairy sources actually break as many bones or more compared to those who really avoid milk. This is now the stance of many, many pediatricians. In fact, Dr. Benjamin Spock, in the 7th edition of Baby and Child Care, which is the biggest selling book of all time after the Bible, he recommended that children should be raised actually on a vegetarian diet and that milk should not be part of their breakfast, lunch, and dinner routine. That was a radical departure from the past, but evidence has simply shown that those kids who are raised without the milk and without the meat are actually healthier than their classmates.